Wow! Welcome to a New Dawn webcast. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of pro-life teammates tonight, let us persevere in running this race set before us with our eyes fixed on you, Lord. Amen. I'm Dr. Pat Castle. I'm the co-founder of the National Life Runners Team. Thank you for joining this exciting webcast. Tonight, we're going to celebrate our monumental pro-life gains in 2013. We're going to hear from national and local pro-life leaders who are witnessing firsthand the real victories like never seen before. We're going to give you concrete ways to continue the life-saving momentum. And then, of course, at the end of the hour, we are going to announce an exciting new initiative that will send shockwaves to the abortion industry and help us save even more lives in 2014. And there really is a new dawn in the pro-life movement, and it depends on teamwork. As the pro-life mass media giant Vitae Foundation proclaims, together we are winning. Tonight's awesome team of presenters include Kristen Hawkins, the Executive Director of Students for Life of America, Destiny De La Rosa, the President and Founder of New Wave Feminist, former Planned Parenthood Director Abby Johnson, who is the President and Founder of And Then There Were None, helping abortion workers quit. Melissa Owen, an abortion attempt survivor and national speaker. Kathy Fork, the co-leader of the Midwest March for Life and a sidewalk counselor in Columbia, Missouri. Karen Garnett, the executive director of the Catholic Pro-Life Committee of North Texas. Father Frank Pavone will give us a message as the national director of Priests for Life. And finally, Laura Muzica will give an exciting announcement, and she is a pro-life attorney and a seasoned sidewalk counselor. And she will share our breaking news tonight. So presenters, each presenter is going to have 3 to 5 minutes to share some of the many 2013 pro-life victories from your unique vantage point in the national and local pro-life work. And it's going to be encouraging. It's going to encourage us to press forward and give us concrete ways on how we need to do so. I will give you a 30-second warning before your time ends. So let's get going. I'll lead this off with a few exciting updates from the National Life Runners Team. At this time, just 1 year ago, we had about 500 life runners across the nation and around the world, and now there are over 1,800 runners, walkers, and cheerers, ages 2 to 80 in 46 states. We're missing 4 states, Delaware, Hawaii, Nevada, and Utah, so if you're listening in, we'd love to have you get signed up so we can have that Life Runners Bowl blue across all the states. Now, St. Paul shared in 1 Corinthians 3:6 that many came up to plant and water ministries, but we know that God makes them grow. Now, I hope everyone considers signing up to be a life runner. The only cost is you remember the unborn, Jeremiah 1:5 jersey, and the only requirement is to wear it in public to help change hearts and minds for saving lives. You can also sign up now to run or walk 5K legs of the Life Runners Across America Relay. It goes coast to coast from the Brooklyn Bridge to the Golden Gate Bridge during 40 days, the spring 40 days for life, and the relay will benefit the Save the Storks mobile medical buses in 2014. Lastly, hope everyone considers signing up for the March for Life Nellie Gray 5K run, walk, or cheer. Pull up one of those March for Life buses and unload it at the race, 8 a.m. the morning of the March for Life. Great warm-up to the march. And all this information about the relay and the Nellie Gray 5K you can find at liferunners.org. Many life runners are listening tonight because we're eager to find out how we can be great teammates with this needed pro-life initiative that will be announced at the end of the hour. And we can't wait. So, Kristen Hawkins, if you could lead us off about it. So it won't be long, and we'll be, you know, be at the March for Life and rallying it. And I know you're getting all ready to go. Congrats on your recent delivery, bringing another little pro-lifer into the world. If you could tell us about some of the pro-life victories you're witnessing as the executive director of the Students for Life of America.
Well, thanks, Dr. Pat. You know, 2013 was a historic year for the pro-life movement. We saw victories in states across the country. And while, you know, there was a lot of turmoil here in Washington, D.C., where we're based, in the states, we saw victory, and we saw lives being saved in communities and college campuses across the country. You know, the year started out with the March for Life, the largest March for Life. On the 40th anniversary, we had over 650,000 people in Washington, D.C., and over 75% were young people. young people. And that's what we're seeing on college campuses. You know, 7.5 years ago, there were about 100 pro-life student groups on college campuses. Today, there's over 760 active pro-life groups on college campuses. There'll be over 900 by the end of this school year. This is the first youth generation since the handing down of Roe versus Wade that's pro-life. And in many polls and studies that are taken and done, we actually are more pro-life than our parents. But it didn't just stop there. It didn't stop at the March for Life. It continued throughout the year. Look at all the successes we've had, you know, despite having, you know, pro-abortion in mainstream media, we were able to get our message across. Look what happened in Austin, Texas, when we had over 60 young people who hopped on a bus and traveled 30 hours to go to Austin, Texas this summer to stand up with the pro-life legislators there and to be a voice in the national media for these common sense pro-life regulations that were being passed. So we're seeing victories across the country. I am so hopeful for the future for 2014. Right now, Dr. Pat, our organization is planning for our largest national conference ever this January, Tuesday, January 21st, the day before the March for Life in Washington, D.C. We're going to have over 2,500 people there. We actually are opening up our college this year to pro-life of all ages. We're going to co-sponsor the adult leadership track with 40 Days for Life. So we would invite anyone who's listening to come sign up at sflalive.org to come and be a part of the largest pro-life training conference in the nation on the 21st. And if you're on the West Coast, join us at the Walk for Life and join us on January 26th at our West Coast National Conference.
Great. And I attended your 2012 Students for Life Conference, and it was awesome, Kristen. I mean, I pulled a lot of resources away and obviously a whole lot of inspiration from it, because there is fuel rods for pro-life at that conference.
That's right. And, you know, we're so excited to have everyone in Washington, D.C. at the March for Life and in San Francisco for the Walk for Life. But we want to make sure that when you get here, you come home trained and ready to go to abolish abortion right there in your community.
Well, you sound like an Air Force commander to organize, train, and equip. It sounds like a lot of stuff that you do with Students for Life.
That sums it up.
Yep, well, thank you very much. Well, howdy, Destiny. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing very good. I evidently caught one of my children's strep within like 2 hours of this telecast. I'm very sorry, but I want you all to know not all feminists sound this way. Normally I sound very...
Well, go ahead and tell us what the New Wave feminists do and what you're seeing from your unique vantage point with the pro-life movement.
Absolutely. So New Wave Feminist is actually based out of Dallas, Texas, but I know a lot of y'all are probably familiar with pro-life feminism just because of the wonderful word that Feminists for Life has gotten out. And we're very similar in our concept. We're a little bit edgier. We're trying to reach out to the 20 and 30-something feminists who we lovingly refer to as feminists, because so many of them are pro-choice by default, and ironically because they feel like they don't have another option. They don't feel like they are allowed to be anti-abortion and still call themselves a feminist. So we're basically here to empower them. Lauren asked me to kind of think of some encouraging moments that I had from 2013. And, you know, oddly enough, I was trying to think of these really sappy, like, heartwarming moments, and I just couldn't come up with any, because for me, down here in Texas at least, 2013 was about intensity. And we saw so much intensity from the pro-choice crowds down in Austin over the summer with the wonderful life-saving bills that we were passing. This group of people, who I'm 30, so this is my generation of people, and just witnessing them march around and chant and scream over pro-lifers and basically rally for child sacrifice was almost disheartening, until I realized that the one thing that they kept trying to do time and time again was shut us up, whether it was us doing pro-life webcasts to other pro-life sites or doing interviews with news media. They were constantly trying to scream over us or put their poster, you know, signs in front of our cameras so that people could hear us. And the reason that I found that so encouraging is because if we didn't have something important to say, they would not be trying so hard to shut us up. They know that we have is absolutely going to be changing hearts and minds. And so I do feel like even though it was very intense, it should be something that we should all be encouraged by as a movement that, you know, truth comes from God. All truth comes from God. So whether we're presenting it as science or religion or however we want to explain this concept to people that human beings are humans from the moment of conception and worthy of all the rights that the rest of us are, it scares them. It scares the other side, and we are getting them incredibly worked up, and that's good news. That's really good news for us.
Yes. And as a PhD nanoanalytical chemist, I can go ahead and confirm the biological fact that, yes, life indeed does begin at conception. So that is a fact that can't be argued anymore, and it's just we put the IMAX theater known as the ultrasound on you know, and show that to people. And really,
yes,
we're getting to the point where people start realizing that if you take a microscopic image of the first human cell, the zygote, that's really our first baby picture. And that's exactly the perspective in the womb that we need to bring to the movement. And we're doing it. And
absolutely,
as you said, the truth is the truth, and I can't really argue it. And so instead of arguing it, they're just trying to speak over you, as you described.
Yeah, trying to silence us, which is why I think going into 2014, we have to be more bold than we have ever been before, because our voices are being heard, our truths are being heard, and we've got them scared, which is awesome. So just I would encourage you all in 2014 to be as bold as possible.
I love it. Well, with a wife and two daughters, I know about girl power, and I can hear that in your voice. There's a whole lot of that coming from Texas.
Absolutely.
Okay, so it looks like, Melissa, if it's okay, if you could pinch it, I see Abby on. Abby, are you on the line yet? Okay.
Yeah, I think
so
we're
Melissa,
still waiting for her to log on, yeah, so we can move on to Melissa. Mm-hmm.
If I know Melissa, she was probably throwing, you know, pitches in her home and getting all ready. So you ready to come out of the bullpen, Melissa Oden?
Well, I am. As we're talking about being bold and girl power, I'd be willing to jump in here.
Awesome. Well, you know, it's so great being your Life Runners teammate and fellow Vitae Foundation board member, and it's exciting for me just to have the opportunity, and it's what an awesome honor to introduce you. You know, we've all got to watch a lot of the messaging, and you do have a unique witness in the pro-life movement that truly gets people to go, wow, I never thought about it from the perspective of someone, an abortion attempt survivor. And it really mm-hmm. brings to light the reality that these are people. And so if you could tell us a little bit about your story and for folks that haven't seen your national commercials, through the Susan B. Anthony, et cetera, and how the power of storytelling in the pro-life movement is indeed changing hearts and minds all across the country.
Absolutely. You know, the short version of the story is that 36 years ago, my biological mother, as a college student, was literally forced to have a saline infusion abortion that was meant to end my life and forever changed hers. You know, 2013 was huge for pro-life victories, but in my life, the greatest victory was finding out more important truths about how I survived and how the abortion was forced, how it was completed by, unfortunately, my own grandmother, how my survival was even kept a secret from my biological parents. But in the midst of all of those terrible truths, the great joy that came out of 2013 was hearing from my biological mother for the first time and being able to see how she's being changed by the fact that her child lived. And she's one of my greatest supports now in the world. And you know, it has propelled me to be further bold with the truth about how abortion ends a life and forever changes others' lives and how abortion truly affects us all. So, you know, in that respect, that is the short version of the long story of my life. But, you know, in the midst of all of that, 2013 was a great year in terms of being able to witness how people being bold enough to share their lives with others truly does impact change. You know, I think people recently saw an ad campaign that I had done in Canada with a group called Signal Hill. It was called See the Beauty. And that video went viral. And I tell you, I heard from people and saw shares happening on social media out of folks that I never have seen this before. And so I think that's a great example of what I think we're going to continue to see in 2014 and the years to come, is that by people being willing to share with other people, hearts and minds are going to be changed.
That's right. That's exactly right. And so, you know, it's in that storytelling. It's in you telling that firsthand story. And the fact of the matter is that everybody in the movement has a story. And it's surprising when you just take a few moments and hear that story. It's when it gets personal that really etches to the heart. And you do that as well as anyone. So thank you, Melissa.
Thank you.
Kathy Fork, are you on the line? Kathy, you there? You might have the mute button on.
Let's see. I think we just unmuted her, so she should be on. Go ahead, Kathy.
Kathy?
Hey, Dr. Pat.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Well, thank you for being on the line. Also, high five to you, my Life Runners teammate. And I had a firsthand, I got to see your great work with the Midwest March for Life when I was stationed outside of St. Louis. So, you know, I'm excited about, you know, being closer to all that action, and you continue that great work. And you're persistent. I mean, you have got a story with really helping abortionists realize that it's not the best idea to come and do their work in Columbia, Missouri. And you showed several people the map on the way out in Missouri, and you've done it in prayer and love, and that is your story. You've done it in the true Christian model. So if you could just tell us about what you've witnessed from your firsthand experiences and why your approach is indeed a winning blueprint for every local community.
Well, thank you, Dr. Pat, and just a little bit about us out here in Missouri. My husband, Mike, and I, we are the local leaders, and we have organized a year-round prayer vigil with Sidewalk Counseling, and we also lead a 40 Days for Life prayer vigil at the Planned Parenthood in Columbia, Missouri. And thank you for mentioning our fourth annual Midwest March for Life, which is going to happen on Saturday, January 25th, 2014, at the Capitol in Jefferson City. And thank you, too.
Yeah, right.
Thank you, too, for this incredible opportunity to share what we have witnessed in Mid-Missouri, especially at the Planned Parenthood in Columbia, which aborted 800 babies each year. There are only two abortion facilities in Missouri and are now down to just one operating facility in St. Louis. And as all good things begin, they begin with a prompting from the Holy Spirit. And this prompting caused us to begin a prayer presence in Columbia in February of 2008 with five other pro-lifers. And we were horrified to find out about those 800 abortions each year. And when we actually saw the moms entering Planned Parenthood for the abortions, we knew that God was calling us to do other things. So we kept praying and asking for direction, and fruit was yielded as some moms chose life. And in April of 2011, we were blessed to have Abby Johnson's sidewalk counselor training. And things really began to happen on the sidewalk after that. Oh, mm-hmm. the miracles that we have seen. We saw Columbia Planned Parenthood lose their abortionist not once, but seven times. Mm. One abortionist lasted one day and quit, and the clinic workers were quitting right and left. And the satellite Planned Parenthood in Jefferson City closed in November of 2012, and it is all to the glory of God. With the sidewalk counseling tools that we were given, the training by Abby to call out to the women and offer hope and help, we saw results. And we got Planned Parenthood escorts, more people to
That's
witness
good.
To, right? Yep. And we saw more and more babies being saved. And the last time abortions were done in Columbia, we saw God save one out of every three babies scheduled for abortion, one out of three. Mm-hmm. And on December 28th, 2013, the Feast of the Holy Innocents, we will praise God for exactly 18 months of no abortions at Planned Parenthood in Columbia.
Yeah.
And we think that no doctor wants to work there. First, because they can't make much money when the procedures drop from 800 a year to about 184. And doctors don't want to see that peaceful prayer presence on abortion days, which would bring anywhere from 30 to 100 people. And these people stood in peaceful prayer in the snow, the sleet, the rain, and the heat of summer, as sidewalk counselors offered help and told the abortionists that they were praying for their conversions, and it worked. Mm. And our prayer supporters and our sidewalk counselors are not giving up. So even though Planned Parenthood is not doing abortions in Colombia right now, they are still referring for abortions. And we are so blessed to have prayer supporters and sidewalk counselors there each day to steer these mothers who feel they have no choice to the local pregnancy resource centers. And I have to say, any city where there is a Planned Parenthood, work is there for sidewalk counselors and prayer supporters. And our hope for this year, our hope is, of course, that Planned Parenthood in Colombia will close, as well as the Planned Parenthood in St. Louis and also Overland Park, Kansas, and that all Missouri babies will be safe from the threat of abortion. So I encourage all of you out there listening, get involved in this ministry. If the Holy Spirit is telling you that he wants you to do something, listen to him.
Yeah.
I moved to Missouri from Arizona in 2007 when I married Mike, and I knew no one but his family, and I'm very shy and introverted and not too well organized. And our email list has over 500 people involved who pray from home and over 150 who regularly pray on the sidewalk. And we have 7 sidewalk counselors, and we're growing. This is truly the work of God, because there is no way it would have happened if I were in charge.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Holy Spirit is calling you, say yes to him, and he will give you the words, "Our God qualifies the unqualified." Amen.
Yeah, well. Amen. And it's obviously clear to everyone listening that your chain of command clearly starts with God. So, and that's, when we start with that chain of command, we know we're heading in the right direction. And in Columbia, Missouri, you are definitely heading in the right direction based on that report. Thank you for sharing that, Kathy, and thanks for your service on the sidewalk.
Thank you, Dr. Pat.
All right. So just as a reminder, as we come nearer to the end of the hour, we are going to announce an exciting new pro-life initiative. It's an initiative that will indeed help save even more lives in 2014, and you're going to get to hear all about it first right here tonight. So next, hi, Karen Garnett, are you on?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Pat.
All right. So I'll give you a howdy because I see you're in Texas.
I'm in Texas and I'm an Aggie, so howdy.
Oh, how about it? Right. So tell us about, what you've seen as the executive director of the Catholic Pro-Life Committee of North Texas.
Well, I tell you what, Dr. Pat, it's just been an amazing, epic year for life. And we here in Dallas at the Catholic Pro-Life Committee, we adopted the theme Exodus 2013 for this year, this 40th anniversary year of legalized abortion, and just that incredible reminder from Almighty God in Exodus 2013, "Thou shalt not kill." And I mean, he's just been sending shockwaves across the country with all that he's been doing, the mountains that he's been moving this year. We've seen so much right here in Texas, but just even nationally, it's been another record year of state pro-life legislation being enacted. There were 360 measures related to abortion that were taken up in 48 states, and of those, 69 provisions were enacted this year. And that follows over the last 2 years. In 2011, 70 life-affirming measures were enacted. And in 2012, which was an election year, 38 measures were passed. And what we're seeing here in Texas, the incredible impact of this great state legislation being passed. 2 years ago, the Sonogram Law was passed in Texas, as well as defunding of Planned Parenthood. And the result from that, the impact from that, was a reduction of the number of actual abortion hours here in Dallas at the 5 abortion facilities in Dallas. We saw a reduction of by 20% of the number of hours per week just for the procedure because of the sonogram being required 24 hours prior to the abortion. We have seen we've been watching the stats, and we've seen over the last 5 years, between 2008 and 2012, just in the state of Texas, abortions were at 81,000 a year in 2008. And in 2012, they were down almost 14,000. This was a 16% drop to 68,000. And of course, one abortion is too many, but to see that kind of impact and that kind of victory because of the law is just so encouraging. And then, as several have already mentioned, this year all eyes were on Austin, Texas, this summer when the clash between the culture of life and the culture of death was just so evident, and the amazing HB2 legislation was passed with those four strong provisions. Texas is now the 10th state in the country to ban abortions after 20 weeks. That went into effect on October 29th, as well as requiring all RU 486 abortions to be performed according to FDA guidelines. We're seeing that having an impact because the abortionists don't want to have to comply with having to personally see the patient four times in person. The hospital privileges provision, which requires all abortionists in the state of Texas to have local admitting privileges within 30 miles, let me tell you that pulled back the hands that have been shedding innocent blood for decades. On November the 1st, there were 16 abortion facilities in the state of Texas that could not perform an abortion. And to this day, 13 of those 16 have still been unable to do an abortion because of the local privileges provision. So God is just moving. And the fourth provision, of course, is that in next year, in 2014, September the 1st, all abortion facilities in Texas will have to meet the ambulatory surgical center standard, and we expect to see many, many more closures because of that. So it's just incredible what all has been going on.
And that sounds fly as a serpent and simple as a dove. You know, that approach, amazing. That we, you know, you've got to be fly, and you got to obviously have that peaceful approach, but that fly part, wow, was that fly, Texas. Good work.
Well, yeah, and we just praise God because He's doing it. You know, the people of God were awakened across the state of Texas and showed up by the thousands at the Capitol in Austin. It was in a lot of ways sort of a awakening, a sleeping giant. And then as we look toward 2014, after what God's already done in 2013, we have great anticipation that He's going to do even more. One of the things that we talk about here is that what started in Dallas, which is Roe v. Wade, we have that legacy of Roe v. Wade, but what started in Dallas must end in Dallas, and we can extend that to the state of Texas. What started in Texas must end in Texas. So, you know, we do invite anyone who is in the North Texas area to join us for the Dallas March for Life on January the 18th, and you can find information on at prolifedallas.org/row for that. It's just a great opportunity to work across the country hand in hand and stand up for life and to see what God is doing. And we're just give Him all the glory.
Yeah, and I love that you use the word adopt. You say you've adopted measures. You know, that was catchy and true. And we know that adoption is a choice that everyone can live with. I also like that you talked about laws that are getting abortion-minded, abortion-vulnerable women to see their ultrasound, because a lot of listeners might not know that it is a policy of Planned Parenthood that you cannot see your ultrasound. And I called and verified that at the St. Louis Planned Parenthood. Wow. You know why? Because they know the stats that we know, which is about 90% of abortion-minded women that see their ultrasound are going to choose life. And they're going to lose their blood money. So the laws that you mentioned that are giving mothers the opportunity to see the life that goes in them, and indeed the stats that you shared, that's exactly right. Lives are being saved. Thank you for that great work that you're doing, Karen.
Well, God be the glory. And, you know, since you mentioned that about adoption, Choose Life license plates also has been passed in 29 states and has funded $19 million to adoption agencies and alternatives to abortion. So that's another great, great victory for life that is going on and sweeping across our country. Praise be to God.
And there is a line of people waiting to adopt. And, of course, the media and our culture tries to give everyone this idea that there aren't enough people to adopt those children. You know, every child is wanted, and there is a line of people that are waiting to adopt children. So, great reminder on the Choose Life adoption license plate. So, we've got a great message from Father Frank. I got to pre-listen to it, and it is encouraging. It's exciting for those that know Father Frank Pavone of the Priest for Life. You'd expect nothing less. And Lauren, do we want to cue that up at this time?
We're ready to go.
Let's do it.
Here
Let's
we go.
Podcast.
All right.
Hello, my brothers and sisters. This is Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life. It's a pleasure for me to be able to send you this message tonight. I am grateful for the invitation to take part. Other pro-life commitments tonight prevent me from being here in person, but let me reflect with you for a couple of moments on the theme of tonight's teleconference. We have seen tremendous victories in 2013, and you know, for many years I've been saying that abortion destroys itself. As time goes on, the truth always comes out, and 2013, perhaps more than any other year, has demonstrated how true that is, because many of the victories, despite the fact that, of course, we're all working very hard and even heroically to end child killing, many of the victories we've seen have been dropped into our laps in an unplanned, unexpected way. Look, for example, at the Gosnell case. So many Americans who identify themselves as pro-choice now realize how extreme our abortion policy is and how unregulated and dangerous the abortion clinics are. And they are just astonished, and therefore they're reevaluating what it means to be pro-choice. So many Americans, furthermore, are agreeing with us, even though they say they're pro-choice, that babies who feel pain should in fact be protected from 20 weeks of pregnancy forward, and hence we have progress on the state and federal level of the Unborn Child Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, which is the next chapter in the legislative progress for pro-life in this coming year, just as a partial birth abortion ban. It took a decade to get that into place and upheld by the courts. This also will take some years to do, but it is an area of focus. And in all of this, brothers and sisters, abortion destroys itself. We just have to help accelerate the process. And therefore, I want to call you to action to do one very simple thing. Expose abortion. We do that by showing people the images of it, by reading them the descriptions of the procedure, and also by letting them hear how destructive it is through the testimonies of those who've had abortions. That is why our Silent No More campaign, silentnomore.com, is inviting people who have had abortions to share their testimony, inviting people who will come to the March for Life to march with us. Again, silentnomore.com can give you the details of how people can stand with their signs that say, I regret my abortion, the men that say, I regret lost fatherhood, and make their presence known in D.C. and also on the West Coast, Walk for Life, and so many places in between. We need your help to enable people to both share and to hear these testimonies, because when people hear the voice of personal experience of those who have been devastated by abortion, well, then, they are seeing the truth about how destructive it is, and it's very hard then for the other side to convince them that this is a good thing. I can also share with you that in 2013, much progress has been made in terms of helping leaders to work together on joint projects. Some of this it happens confidentially, and therefore we can't share it with you in detail, but I can tell you, as someone who helps to convene many meetings and strategic seminars for pro-life leaders, that we are seeing an unprecedented level of cooperation, and we have to continue to urge our leaders on a local, national, and international level to continue to seek ways to work together. I can assure you that is happening, and I want to thank the other participants tonight for all that they do to help make that happen as well. We at Priests for Life will continue to forge initiatives as we move forward, especially in an election year, to strengthen the collaboration of the many groups. And I look forward, as those efforts unfold, to again seeing and meeting so many of you, and meeting in your communities, praying at your prayer rallies, at preaching in your churches, and just know of my support and my daily prayers for each and every one of you, and the prayers of our entire pastoral team at Priests for Life. I bring you the greetings of Janet Morana, Dr. Alveda King, Brian Kemper, Teresa and Kevin Burke, our priests, Father Wild, Father Victor Solomon. All of us greet you, hold you up in prayer, and thank you for what you're doing, including this webcast tonight. God bless you.
Awesome. And Father Frank really drives it home at the end there that it's going to take teamwork to end abortion. And he gave us a big cheer behind that. We know that heaven is a team sport, and we need everyone to be part of that team. So with that, what a great blessing to lead into our big announcement of a much-needed pro-life program, an initiative to help fill a gap. And we're going to hear about it from Lauren Muzica. And, Lauren, I have so enjoyed working with you, getting ready to launch this project. I so enjoyed being on your radio show, our collaboration as LifeRunner teammates. And, you know, many know you from your national, the great national, in your local pro-life work, but still go ahead and just let people know a little bit more about yourself and let us know what's coming in 2014.
Well, Dr. Pat, I can tell you that everything you just said is absolutely mutual. As you coined it, kindred spirits. We've had a good time putting this together, and it's just been a pleasure to get to know you better, and it's obvious why the Holy Spirit chose you to MC this event tonight. You are a very gifted individual, and we look forward to seeing what God is going to do with you in the months to come. So thank you so much. And to all of our participating leaders, to all of the wonderful ladies that are on the line tonight, as well as Father Frank, who blessed us with the recording even though he couldn't be with us in person, the thing that makes me most excited about tonight is the Holy Spirit, we didn't plan this, put together a cast of women, and women who are young and professional, well-educated leaders who really have grasped the reasonable concept that life is precious, and frankly, if our mothers had done something with us in the womb, we wouldn't be here tonight. And so we are just so grateful for the example of Kristen and Destiny, Melissa, Abby, who something may have happened. We pray that everything's well with her. Kathy and Karen, who really are working together, you know, as members of the body of Christ. I'm excited to say that we represent all different churches and denominations. We're cross-denominational, and we're working together for that end goal, which, as I've heard one great leader say, it's that day when we can finally see that no more children will die and no more women will cry because of so-called safe and legal choice. And so we gather here tonight really in memorial of the 56 million children that have lost their lives because of abortion. But again, we are people of hope, and as I've heard one great leader say, we are an Easter people, and Alleluia is our song. And we are seeing really the beginning of the end of abortion in 2013. You know, some of the other headlines that we celebrated this year, we saw lowest abortion rate in 30 years this year. We just proclaimed that. Record abortion facility closures all across the United States. It is just so exciting what God is doing. And I really feel like we are at our best when we are working together. You know, all of these beautiful efforts operate, again, like the body of Christ, and they complement one another. And so really, our announcement tonight, the big announcement tonight, is in that spirit. But Dr. Pat, you asked me to kind of introduce myself. I know some of you probably from national pro-life work, local pro-life work, but let me go ahead and tell you a little bit more about me, and then we'll get to the big announcement. So again, my name is Lauren Muzica, and I guess in a nutshell, I am a happily married sidewalk counseling attorney. And I have to say that at different times I asked the Lord, what are you going to do with a sidewalk counseling attorney? And really, it didn't make sense until metaphorically tonight. I did my college degree at Texas A&M University. I have a Bachelor of Arts in Political Science in Spanish, an Advanced Certificate in International Affairs, and then I got my JD from Ave Maria School of Law, where I got a basis in moral foundations of the law and natural law. Of course, yes, we learn the law as written, but we learn to ask the question, in light of who we are and how God has made us, is this a just law? The other thing that's pertinent to the announcement tonight is that I am a trained sidewalk counselor of 14 years. I was first trained by the Karen Black Method at the Interdenominational Brazos Valley Coalition for Life in Aggieland, which is the local peaceful activist organization that birthed the very first 40 Days for Life campaign. And, of course, that has spread all across the world, praise God. And then when I came back home to Dallas, it was actually Karen's organization that received me as an intern sidewalk counselor. I was a full-time sidewalk counselor that summer and then also the fall that I came back from law school. But I was trained in the Monsignor Riley Method. method of sidewalk counseling in Dallas, and was shuffled around to the 5-6 different Dallas abortion facilities to offer loving alternatives to the men and women who were going in. And then I've had the great grace over the past few years of attending the National Sidewalk Counseling Symposium, which is sponsored by Pro-Life Action Ministries as well as Pro-Life Action League, and hearing from, you know, great heroes in the movement such as Joe Scheidler, who is championed as, you know, the grandfather of pro-life activism, and doing some sidewalk counseling trainings with his wife, Anne. And, of course, I know Eric is running that effort now. But, you know, so thankful to them and everyone who contributed towards the methodology that I know, which is very woman-oriented and very loving. When I worked for the 40 Days for Life national team and then moved on to other ministry, there was something that really got at my heart, and that is when I looked across the United States and, you know, I was serving people on the front lines, meaning people who were going out to the abortion center to peacefully pray. A lot of them let me know that they didn't have proper sidewalk counseling training, that really was a huge gap in their community. Now, granted, there were groups that were doing it across the United States, maybe because they were limited geographically, or maybe they got training, but they didn't have ongoing support. You know, some of these people who are trying to run local grassroots efforts like Kathy Fork in Columbia, Missouri, you know, these are people who are moms and dads. They are doctors and lawyers and garbage men, and they're from all walks of life, and they don't necessarily have the means to just keep a program like that going on a volunteer basis. They were lacking infrastructure, and so sometimes we would see something get started and then it would fizzle out pretty quickly. So, Dr. Pat, that's a little bit about me and a little bit about the need that I saw.
Yeah, okay, so God clearly has equipped you for your mission. So what
yes.
is the mission that we can help you move forward with?
Yes. All right. Well, here is the announcement. Here's what we're sharing with everyone tonight, and I am so excited about this. We, in order to fill this need across the United States for sound, woman-oriented, peaceful, prayerful sidewalk counseling training and ongoing support, we have formed a new national sidewalk counseling program under a new charitable 501c3 pending organization called Sidewalk Advocates for Life. Let me say that again. It's called Sidewalk Advocates for Life. And our vision and mission is to train, equip, and support local communities across the United States in sidewalk advocacy, to be the hands and feet of Christ, offering loving, life-affirming alternatives to all present at the abortion center, thereby eliminating demand and ending abortion. And I always say that any pro-life group should have ending abortion in their mission and vision statement. We should be so good at our work that we eventually put ourselves out of business. So we need to keep that in mind. But the main elements of our program are this. Of course, the centerpiece is sidewalk advocacy, but there's two things that support it. Number one, we know that with God, all things are possible, and without Him, we can do nothing. And so prayer is the foundation from which we sidewalk counsel. We're admonishing sidewalk advocates when they head out to the abortion facility to pray before they go, to pray while they're there, and to pray after they leave, especially for the people who were going in. And then we also have a community support element. We are going to invite people in local communities to attend the local sidewalk advocacy training, to pray for the advocates, to come together for an opening and closing celebration. I want to send everyone to our new website at this point so that you can kind of see the physical manifestation of what I'm talking about. So, and for those of you who are listening on the internet, you want to be careful to open a new window if you're in front of your computer, but you can go ahead and open a new window and do www.sidewalkadvocates.org. Again, that's sidewalkadvocates.org. And there you can read about our staff, our board of directors, our program advisors, and you can read about how we're going to provide local communities tools, training, technology, and ongoing staff support. And the other thing that I'm so excited about when it comes to this program is that it's going to be cross-denominational. You know, as we mentioned tonight, we have presenters that represent different denominations, different walks of life in Christ, and that is one of my passions, is bringing people together across denominational lines in order to end the scourge on our nation and in our local communities. We know that this is not one call for one church, one leader, one movement, or even one organization. This is a universal call to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. And so it's in that spirit that we're launching this and inviting local communities to consider bringing sidewalk advocacy to their local community. So, Dr. Pat, that's the big gap that we're going to fill.
Okay. Okay, wow. And it is a big gap, and it is a need. And I think everyone on the line clearly understands that sidewalk counseling is indeed the last line of defense. I think all of us understand that if we're going to be successful in that last line of defense, that we need training and we need to be equipped. And this is the gap that you're going to fill. So now, practically speaking, how do we get this? How do we engage the sidewalk advocates for life? How does this work?
Absolutely. Yeah, let me tell you a little bit more about how this works. Just when the rubber meets the road, practically, what does this look like? So if a local community is in need of sidewalk advocacy, and it's never going to be our prerogative to go into a local community and say, you need this. This is just something that we're offering. And if we can be a blessing, if we can serve you, then praise God. So we're going to open applications 6 to 8 weeks in advance of every quarter. Now, one thing that we realized is that, you know, we didn't want to just give someone the program and they run it until they fizzle out. You know, I remember being part of the 40 Days National Team and hearing from local leaders who said, I couldn't wait for day 41, right? And again, we've got people from all walks of life. People are very busy. And so we wanted to set up seasons by which a community could apply for the program. And then, you know, at the end of the quarter, they will discern, do we feel called to renew our membership or take some time off? You know, that period of time can also be used to transition leadership or to retrain sidewalk advocates. So we're going to build in seasons, but you will be able to run the program year-round. So just before each quarter, about 6 to 8 weeks in advance, communities can choose to renew with us, renew their membership with us, or apply for the first time. Or again, they can take a season off. Now, what do you get when you apply for the program and your application is approved? What you get is two levels of training. We're going to give you a small training manual that will tell you how to set up the program in your local community. We will give you a training DVD. You know, all you have to do is get the church room, provide a meal, right? We're going to have you, we're going to give you the training so that you can just pop that in, hit play, and let it run. And I'm telling you, this training is phenomenal. It's not going to be a classroom setting watching a classroom setting. It is going to be very interactive. We are going to give you tools. You know, if you need flyer templates or press releases or other tools, we're going to provide that for you so that you can get the word out about your local program. We're going to give you technology. If you go to our website, again, that's sidewalkadvocates.org, and click the locations tab, you will be able to see all of the participating communities. So if you're an individual and you say, I want to go out to the abortion center to offer, you know, these loving alternatives to the folks who are going in, you're going to be able to go on the locations tab of our website and find your closest participating program. And then, of course, we are going to be available to you as a staff. We are going to provide ongoing, full-time staff support so that you can be successful. So if you call me up and say, Lauren, I'm struggling with this out on the sidewalk, you know, I'm going to be able to be there for you. This is what I'm going to do full-time and what our other staff members are going to do full-time. Now, the great thing about this program, Dr. Pat, is that you can actually run it underneath an existing organization. You can run it as a program or a project. And so if you're a local Right to Life group, a diocesan organization, a Protestant church, whatever it may be, as long as you believe in the sanctity of human life from womb to tomb, we are happy for you to discern whether or not this is a great fit for you. So what's up and coming is that applications are going to open on February the 1st. Again, in anticipation of the second quarter, that's when we're kicking off. The applications will open February the 1st, and then people will literally hit the ground running on April the 1st, the beginning of the second quarter.
Okay. Wow. And as a reminder, folks can go to sidewalkadvocates.org, and they can see this outline there if you're having a hard time keeping up with all the details. And the bottom line, one of the bottom lines that I heard in all that is tying together your introduction where you told us about your education and your experience. Obviously, that education experience made an experience approach, a research approach is going to come into this. This isn't just like, oh, Laura Muzica thinks this is the best way to do it. You've got lots of time and hours on the sidewalk where you have seen this work. And so that's an important thing to point out. And could you tell us a little bit more about how is this really going to help a local community and also some people might be thinking, how is this different than other programs out there?
Absolutely. Well, our disposition is that if you have the need and we can be a blessing, praise God. Again, otherwise, it's not our prerogative to go into a community and insert ourselves. So if you've got great sidewalk counseling going on in your city or town, you probably don't need us. I'll give you an example. Karen's organization, that's here in the Dallas, Texas area, they do a phenomenal job of covering all five Dallas abortion facilities, and praise God, because of the Texas law, only three are functioning right now. But there are many communities, you know, from my vantage point doing past national work, there are many communities that need sound training, they need tools, technology, and ongoing support. So we are here to fill the gap. And the other thing that I want to emphasize is that this is not going to replace local organizations that take a program like this and combine it with other efforts effectively. So I'll give you an example. If you take the Central Texas Coalition for Life, which is run by Heather Gardner, Abby Johnson is their board president. You know, Heather's organization, for instance, does a 40 Days for Life program. They do sidewalk counseling, and they've got some other programs. It's really on that local level, as evidenced by Kathy's testimony tonight as well, where the rubber meets the road and people get things done. They build bridges. You know, I mean, this really operates by the principle of subsidiarity. You know, it's these local grassroots organizations, I think, where this is going to be a great fit, or if you're a volunteer, of course, in a local community. But we don't want to replace those efforts. These efforts are the ones that can combine a potpourri of 40 Days for Life, sidewalk counseling, pro-life activity together for just one incredible package that will have ripple effects across that local community. And the other thing that we don't want is that some of you probably are engaged in sidewalk counseling training in different areas across the country. You know, don't stop doing what you're doing, of course. For instance, Abby Johnson and Heather Gardner, who I just mentioned, are doing a sidewalk counseling training at the West Coast Walk for Life. And I say, praise God, any time that there is good, sound sidewalk counseling training going on, you know, there may be folks who want to go check that out and see what other skills they can gain as well. You know, of course, we're going to focus in on this. We're going to do this one thing. We're going to do it well. But we want to work with all of the other groups that are out there. And again, you know, it's a discernment process. If we can be a blessing for you, if we can fill that need, then we are more than happy to do that.
Good. Okay. So how about for us listening, what can we do to team up with you? What can we do to help you move this forward, to help start filling this gap, this need for this training and equipping folks to do sidewalk counseling?
Absolutely. Well, you know, just again, reflecting on how the body of Christ works together and that we're at our best when we're working together. And I look at Students for Life and New Wave Feminists and Abby Johnson's Abortion Worker Ministry, and then There Were None, who since its inception has seen over 90 workers leave the business. And you've got Melissa Oden's testimony about what it is to be an abortion survivor. Kathy and Karen, who are on the local level, but really their work ripples out across the country and across the world. You know, all of these things beautifully work together. And I just want to say that if an aspect of the movement, you know, as witnessed through their work, has touched you in a profound way tonight, I know that they depend on folks' generosity as well. Pray for them. If you'd like to financially partner with them, you can Google their website and find them, contact them. I know that they would love your support as well. And I'll tell you, as we get started here, Sidewalk Advocates for Life desperately needs your prayer support. You know, that's the best way you can support us, but we really, really do need your financial support. And so I do want to go ahead and mention our website once again, sidewalkadvocates.org. I'll say that again, sidewalkadvocates.org, and you can click the donate button in the upper right corner, and that will take you to a page in which you can go ahead and make a financial gift tonight. You know, I'll just be completely frank with you, Dr. Pat, and this is something I debated about whether or not I should share, but I'm going to go ahead and share it. You know, we have just gotten by as we have started this initiative, and after this last check goes through, we will have $16 in our business checking account. And, you know, my husband and I will make whatever sacrifices we have to make. I'll be honest, I don't know where my next paycheck is coming from. But we're doing this on faith because we know that sidewalk advocacy, sound sidewalk advocacy, that's very woman-oriented, that's very peaceful, that's very prayerful, it is incredibly effective. And I'll just share with you all one quick little story that really impacted my life. You know, I remember when I was sidewalk counseling full-time with Karen's organization, And I ministered to a young girl who was 17 years old. And, you know, as is the case with the Holy Spirit, I don't remember much of the conversation, but I remember telling her that, you know, hi, I love you. I've been praying for you. My name is Lauren. I'd love to help you. What can we do to help you today? And we began to talk, and I tried to help her connect the dots and put the pieces together. And before I knew it, you know, offering all of the help that was available at the local pregnancy resource center, this young woman jumped out of the car, threw her arms around my neck, and said, okay, let's go get a sonogram. And it was one of the most beautiful moments of my life. And long story short, I actually got to meet that six-year-old girl this past spring. And I thought to myself when I met her, you know, is there anything better than this? All of a sudden, my law degree and all of these other things just didn't matter. I thought I have to do whatever I can to make sure that people know how to do this in their local communities, because there's nothing that compares to meeting a child who was saved from abortion, who could have been another statistic, and instead, by the grace of God, she exists. She's here. She's going to experience birthdays and graduations. Maybe she'll get married someday and have children of her own. And we know that when one life has been saved, we know that generations have been saved. And it has a ripple effect across our world. You know, the mother of this young six-year-old little girl shared with me recently that she told her boyfriend the story about what had happened with this little girl in our meeting on the sidewalk and everything. And she said he teared up and asked if he could meet me, you know. And it's just, again, moments like that where I say there's nothing better than this life-saving work. And if we really believe in this tonight, and this is my invitation to you all, if you really believe in what we're doing, if you have seen the need across the United States, if you have seen people that have really struggled to get good, sound sidewalk counseling training and then get that ongoing support, get that technology so people can find them in local communities, then I'm asking you humbly to consider making a financial gift tonight. You know, $25, that will bless us so much. But some of you, maybe a generous gift is $1,000, $5,000. You know, I don't know what that is for you, and I just invite you to take that to prayer. But I can tell you that the success of this program, even though we've got everything going in the works, to be able to move forward completely, to be able to accept as many applications as possible from across the United States, we desperately need your support tonight. Yes, we need your prayers as well. So please, you know, just prayerfully consider how can we partner with Sidewalk Advocates for Life, and it will always be our prerogative to bring people together from across the body of Christ and then continue to complement the wonderful work that's already going on in the United States in the pro-life movement. So thank you, Dr. Pat.
Well, I'll tell you what I heard, Lauren, is you truly lead by example, and you have gave, and you do give until it hurts. So thank you for this initiative. Thank you for being obedient to an obvious prompting of the Holy Spirit. Thank you to all the presenters, to all the listeners, for giving your precious time during a very busy time of year. And one note, if you could, Lauren, just mention that folks will have an opportunity to meet you at the March for Life, and you could just maybe give a few words about that meet and greet in D.C.
Absolutely. We are going to host a meet and greet at the Washington, D.C. March for Life on January the 22nd, the day of the march, from 4 to 6 p.m., and it's going to be in Congressional Room B at the Hyatt Regency on Capitol Hill. Now, that's probably a lot of information. The main thing that you need to know is 4 p.m., Hyatt Regency on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., and we're going to do a little warm-up with us after the march. We're going to have some treats, something warm to drink, because it is ridiculously cold, much colder than it ever is in Texas. And so we're going to invite folks to come meet our team in person, come meet our board of directors, come meet those of us on staff, and have something hot to drink, have something warm to drink, and visit with us a little bit. We'll give you a little packet of information. Of course, you know, a lot of information is available on our website, but if you want the opportunity to ask some questions in person and all that, we invite anybody and everybody to come meet us there. So, you know, just to wrap us up, a quick reminder, once again, applications are going to open on February the 1st, so you have a month and a half to ask all the questions you want, to get to know our team. You can go to our website and click the Contact Us button and just let us know what questions you may have, what reservations you have. We would love to share with you our approach and the program, really, that has been time-tested. You know, it's this peaceful, prayerful method out on the sidewalk that is winning so many hearts and minds, that has documented thousands of lives saved. It is just such a blessing to be able to do the Lord's good work. And then, you know, connect with us over social networking. Again, when you go to sidewalkadvocates.org, you can click around in the upper left-hand corner and connect with us on Facebook. Please like us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, on and on and on. So, again, we would love to connect with you, and there's many ways to do so. But, you know, again, I just want to reiterate that we are one team. We are at our best when we're working together. And I just look forward to everything that God is going to do with all of us when we give him our yes in 2014. When you have momentum like this, like we have had in 2013, we have to ride this momentum to the very end. This is not the time to sit on our laurels. This is the time to say, God is moving, and I'm going to jump on that train, and I'm going to help save lives and impact eternal souls from here to kingdom come.
Yes. Well, what an investment tonight it was for all of us. And as Blessed John Paul II said, he called this the most important work on earth. And that's what we're doing, and that's defending God's gift of life. Let's all go and make good on this investment tonight by continuing to put our pro-life faith in action, just like the Sidewalk Advocates for Life are going to do. We're so very blessed to be all in Christ for pro-life. This is about teamwork. So let's close with a short but very powerful prayer. And we offer up this good work tonight in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Pat. Thank you. God bless.
You got it.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.